And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Wealthy Rupert Barlow, financial backer of Larry's current Broadway play, has done his very best to induce Mary to return his infatuation for her. But for the past several days, Rupert's attention has been switched to more immediate problems. With the return of Julia Dixon from Bermuda with handsome Oliver Wilson, Rupert is suddenly aware that Julia might find herself enamored of someone other than himself. A few minutes ago, as he saw the blonde young man casually crossing the lawn of his Long Island estate just as day was breaking, Rupert lost his control completely and started shouting noisily for his man, Victor. Now, several minutes later, Victor appears in his master's bedroom, pulling on his jacket and adjusting his tie as he enters.
Hey, what's the matter, Mr. Barlow? What's all the yelling about?
Where the devil have you been all this time, Victor? I might have died up here of old age before you bothered to show up.
Oh, take it easy, boss. You're flying off the handle.
Well, it's small wonder. I ring and ring and nobody's bothers to answer. Not till I began to shout out the window did I get any attention. Where is everybody? Why do I maintain a highly paid staff of servants only to have them ignore my summons? Oh,
good night, boss. You're really being tough. Don't you know what time it is?
I know it's getting light outside, Victor. What's that got to do with it?
It isn't more than a couple of minutes after five.
What of it?
Well, everybody's asleep. Good night. Folks got to sleep no matter who they're working for. I was lying over in my bunk when you started shouting. Almost scared the daylights out of me.
It took you long enough to get here.
I haven't got my breath yet. Well, you pulled on my pants, jacket, and run over here. You thought I was training to be a fireman. What's the matter, boss? Why aren't you in bed sleeping?
I can't sleep. That's why.
Okay, let's have it, Mr. Barlow. What's got you on this merry-go-round?
I don't suppose you care, Victor, since it isn't your whole life that's involved. But that young upstart, that overbearing, idiotic, blonde idiot that Julia Dixon brought back with her from Bermuda has been out driving with her practically all night.
Well, what do you know? Still, it's not much different from what they were doing in Bermuda. The hours they kept. Wow.
Well, this time they took my car.
Holy smoke, which one?
The new convertible, Victor.
What? I'll kill that guy. I spent all yesterday afternoon shining that car up.
Well, that's all it means. A little of your precious polishing wasted.
Well, you said yourself you were sore, Mr. Barlow.
I won't have Julia Dixon making a fool of herself over this fortune hunter.
What do you mean, fortune hunter?
Why else do you think he followed her here? She's old enough to be his mother.
Oh, wait a minute, boss. Miss Julia isn't that old. You said yourself the kid isn't that young. You just got sore because he keeps calling you sir, like you were an old man.
It's ridiculous. I've never met such an insolent young upstart.
Yeah, I know what you mean. He sure takes to it here, though. The way he rings for service. I think he was staying at the Ritz.
Well, I tell you, I won't have it. He's got to go.
Okay with me. Just you fix it up, and I'll drive him to the pier and see he gets on the boat.
Yeah. Well, it isn't quite so easy.
Yeah, you said it. Miss Julia's stuck on him. She can't take her eyes off the guy. She's nuts about him, Mr. Barlow.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Victor. Julia Dixon has never loved anyone except me for 10 years. She knows perfectly well that I mean to marry her in time.
Sure, sure. That's what you keep saying. But how long do you think a lady's going to wait? Especially when a good-looking kid like this one comes along.
He's nothing but a fortune hunter.
I wouldn't be too sure, boss. He was spending money pretty easy, like over in Bermuda. Of course, they can't bring dough into this country, but still and all...
I want you to throw him out, Victor.
Me?
Certainly. Go to his room and see that he packs up all his things and leaves this place.
Oh, no, boss, not me. I don't get myself mixed up in any more trouble. Not with all the charges I had against me at headquarters when I was fighting my way through some of the tough spots you got us mixed up into.
Well, I won't have him on the place. Do you understand?
Sure, and I don't blame you, boys, but you got to tell him off, not me. I'll drive him wherever you say, but I don't lay a glove on a guy, no, sir.
Well, we've got to get rid of him some way. Think of something, Victor. Don't just stand there.
Well, look, how about if you was to move to your apartment in New York? Just clear out, like, and leave them to be on their own.
Are you crazy? Are you utterly out of your head? You talk like a maniac. Leave Julia Dixon. Poor, inexperienced Julia, at the mercy of this unprincipled young opportunist.
Well, I don't know. Miss Julia don't seem to mind being with him so much. If I know anything about...
You don't. I won't hear another word of such nonsense. As though I didn't have enough on my mind without this.
It's tough, Mr. Barlow. Sure is tough. Only, I wouldn't try to use any kind of force.
Well, then think of something, Victor. Try to be of some help. Figure out some way of getting that miserable Oliver Wilson out of this house. Now get busy.
Okay, boss, I sure will. I'll give it the old one, too. But I still think it's your problem.
And on this same morning, we find Larry Noble in the living room of his Rosehaven Long Island home nearby, talking earnestly to attractive Claudia Vincent, the Noble's house guest. And we hear...
Of course, this isn't at all certain, Claudia. I don't want you to get your hopes up too high, because there's more than an even chance that nothing will come of it.
Oh, I know, darling, but tell it to me again. I can scarcely believe my ears.
Oh, it's perfectly simple. It seems that Sheila... You met her backstage. She plays the part opposite me.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. A very attractive young woman. And yet, somehow she didn't have the fire that the part demands. At least, that's how I felt about it.
Well, Sheila's deeply in love. She's dying to get married and go to Europe with her husband.
But she can't
do it. No. She's got a run-of-the-play contract. But it just occurred to me that maybe our producer, Harold Ramsey, might be persuaded to consider you for the part.
Oh, Larry, Larry, I can't believe it. I'm so excited. It's like a dream come true.
Well, now, take it easy, Claudia. Nothing's happened yet. But I spent a couple of hours with him after the theater at my club in New York. I tried, tactfully, to suggest that he let you read for him.
And he agreed? Oh, Larry, tell me at once that he agreed.
Not exactly. But I think he will. Of course, that doesn't mean that he'll accept you and let Sheila out of her contract. He's got a play that's doing record business now, so you can't blame him for not wanting to risk any change.
And yet, you, Larry, you who have even more to lose are willing to suggest me for the part.
I'm sure you'd do it beautifully.
Oh, bless you, darling. And now, tell me what I must do.
First of all, not a word of this to anybody.
No, of course not, Larry.
I mean not to anybody, not even here in this house. This must be the greatest possible secret until after Harold Ramsey's let you read. You understand why it's so important.
You tell me, Larry.
If a single word of this change got out, a rumor would spread like wildfire, and Harold would be swamped with anxious actresses wanting the part. He'd be absolutely livid, and he'd never give you a chance.
Oh, he won't hear a word, not from me.
Good. Now then, Claudia, I've brought you a script. You study the part carefully, give it everything you've got, and after that, let me hear what you do with it.
Oh, I will, Larry. Larry, I'll study as I've never studied before. But you will help me. Larry, you'll coach me. I'm frightened. This is so big, so wonderful.
Oh, sure, of course. I'll do everything I can.
What was that?
I don't know. Upstairs somewhere. Now, the first thing is to get the idea of this character. You see, she's supposed to be a very glamorous, very spoiled young woman who's used to turning every man's head. When we first meet.
And at this same time, upstairs in her bedroom, Mary, too, is startled by the sudden slam of the door. As she sits up in bed, we hear...
Mommy! Mommy!
Larry Jr., was it you who came in here and slammed the door?
Yes, I didn't mean to. I opened it soft and easy, but the wind blew it out of my hands and it slammed.
Oh. What are you doing up so early, darling?
Stanley Baker and I, we're going to go fishing. We're going to take our dogs. Only I forgot to ask you last night. Is it okay, Mommy? We got sandwiches and everything all made. Phoebe did them for us.
Why, yes, it's all right, I guess. Only you will be careful.
Oh, sure.
Did Stanley's mother say it's all right?
Sure. She doesn't care where we play as long as Stanley doesn't come over here to my house.
Hmm. Well, run along, darling, and have a good time.
Hey, where's Daddy? Hey, why isn't he in his bed? Didn't he come home yet?
Yes, but he had some things to settle before coming to bed.
Gee, didn't he go to bed all night long?
Not yet. You run along, darling. Enjoy yourself, but don't make too much noise going out. And don't slam any more doors.
I won't. Hey, maybe I'll bring us a great big lot of fish, Mommy.
Maybe you will. We'll have them for dinner.
Bye. I won't make any noise at all, and neither will my dog, too.
That's just fine. Goodbye, darling.
And then Mary looks at the clock on her bedside table. She turns and pretends to sleep, wondering where Larry is and what he could be talking about all this time. Well, be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.